Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Diverted by Laurie Matthews, narrated by Wyeth Watts and Sophia Willingham. Prologue, February 9th, 2021. Alejandro Garcia glanced at his watch and seethed. He abhorred tardiness, and the man was late. Stirring his coffee, he watched people stroll by the cafe window. He, unlike most of the world, hated Paris, especially in January. The cold invaded his bones, and gray skies hung heavy overhead. Even the Eiffel Tower looked dirty and dingy in the falling mist. Garcia sighed. He found the French to be tedious. They thought too highly of themselves, and their lack of work ethic astounded him. The constant rioting about trivial things illustrated a society too pampered to be taken seriously. He had no idea why the French government tolerated such behavior. He rechecked his timepiece and took a sip from his cup. However, they did serve excellent coffee, and for that he was willing to forgive quite a bit. A black car pulled up to the curb. The driver came around and opened the door. A tall, distinguished-looking gentleman emerged. "Finally," Garcia mumbled as his 10 o'clock appointment entered the cafe 20 minutes late. Edward Langston approached the table, hand outstretched. "Sorry I'm late. Ran into a traffic snarl. Protesters wouldn't let the car pass." Garcia stood and shook hands. "Of course. Please." He gestured toward the opposite chair. "May I get you something? Coffee, perhaps?" It galled him to play host to this American, but it was a small price to pay for the benefits this man could provide to Garcia's country. "I'm fine. Can't stay long." The man sat. "Look," Langston leaned forward, "our agreement. I must say I have some misgivings." Garcia ground his teeth. Langston couldn't back out now, not when Garcia was so close to sealing his country's future on the world stage. "You don't want to run a live test of your experiment?" "Of course we want to run the test," Langston said. "Don't be stupid. I want to make sure you understand the risk you're taking. None of this can come out, ever." Garcia nodded. "Agreed. It would be bad for all of us, and yes, we understand the risk. Your mosquitoes will save millions of lives and change the world. We want to provide you with the opportunity to prove their efficacy. Many of our population are affected by mosquito-borne diseases. It is perfectly logical for you to test your theory in our country. As to the other parts, that will remain a secret, I can assure you." Langston hesitated before giving a curt nod. "We have a deal." "When will the testing begin?" Langston frowned. "Our people should be in place at the end of March, maybe slightly later. By summer, we should know if it's working or not." Garcia nodded again. "Good. The sooner, the better. No delays." "Obviously," Langston snarled. "I'll be in touch when we're ready to go." "Everything will be ready to proceed." Garcia forced a smile. "Make sure it is. This is very important, to both sides." Garcia's jaw ached. The American's attitude was insufferable. "It will be smooth on my end, I can assure you." Langston studied him for a minute. "You're sure your boss is on board with this?" "You need not worry, Mr. Langston. As I said, things will flow smoothly on my end." Garcia curled his hand around the coffee cup and squeezed. He would prefer if the cup were Langston's neck, but that was not in the cards, at least not yet. He reminded himself there must be sacrifice to achieve success. His day would come. "Fine." Langston stood up, and Garcia rose with him. "I'll be in touch," Langston stated, then turned and exited the cafe. He got into his car and drove off. Garcia returned to his seat, signaled the waiter, who brought another piping hot coffee. Americans. Another group Garcia hated. Not so different from the French, always thinking they knew better and possessed the upper hand. Not this time. This time, Garcia had the advantage, and things were just as they should be.
Chapter 1. Bring him over here, Muhammad. Dr. Carolina Alvarez pointed to the now empty table along the wall of the tent in the makeshift hospital. Two local men, half-carried, half-dragged the unconscious man between them, over to Carolina and put him face down in front of her. The sound of sporadic gunfire erupted, but everyone in the tent ignored it.
"We found him washed up on the beach," stated Muhammad, the taller of the two. "We didn't want to just leave him there. It would not be right."
Carolina gave him a brief smile as Gabe, a nurse, came over and helped her move the injured soldier onto the table. The man was dressed in military fatigues, so helping him could be risky for Muhammad and his son. But they were good people. They put politics and religion aside to help someone in need. Carolina had seen that a lot in Yemen. What the world was told about the Yemenis and the truth of the matter wasn't even close. Of course, she'd found that was the way of it in most of the countries she'd worked in. Doctors Without Borders only went to places in need, and most of those countries had political problems.
"Thanks for rescuing him, Muhammad. Do you know where he got shot?"
Muhammad and his son, Ahmed, both shook their heads. The son was the spitting image of the father. It was like seeing double.
"He's not shot."
Ahmed turned and mumbled something to his father in Arabic and then said,
"Stabbed. In the back."
It was hard to hear him over the din of voices in the tent. Carolina helped Gabe turn the man onto his side. "Take his vitals," she said as she leaned over to see the injured man's back. Muhammad cleared his throat.
"We go now."
Carolina nodded. "Shukran, Muhammad," she said, trying to thank him in his own language, but he was gone. Probably good he wasn't there to hear her butcher it. There was a lot of blood soaking into the man's shirt. She peeled it back to reveal a long, deep gash that went right across the man's back from his right shoulder to his left hip.
Jesus, he was hacked, not stabbed.
She peered closer at the wound. It was ugly, and it was going to take a lot of work to fix. She cursed silently. A slash like this needed a plastic surgeon in a real hospital, not a general surgeon in a makeshift hospital tent. She'd do what she could, but it wasn't going to be pretty.
"Colin, I'm going to need your help."
Carolina didn't even look up as she yelled for the other doctor. "Gabe, how are his vitals?"
"They suck," he stated. "His pulse is weak and his pressure is low. His breathing is shallow."
"Hang a unit of blood and then grab the portable X-ray. I need to see if his ribs are broken."
Gabe quickly hooked the man up to the IV and then skirted the table and moved to the other end of the room.
"Colin,"
Carolina called again as she noticed a birthmark on the man's right shoulder. It looked sort of like a four-leaf clover. Another flurry of gunfire sounded, drowning out Colin's answer. Just then, the flap of the tent was pushed open wider, and a new group of injured were brought in.
"You're on your own," Colin called. "I'll take the new ones."
"Shit," Carolina mumbled. "Let's hope your birthmark is a sign you're lucky. You're going to need it."
Gabe came back with the portable X-ray and set it up. He quickly took pictures of the man's torso. After a brief pause, he consulted the tablet on the machine's stand.
"Look like four broken ribs."
"That's not good. Okay, let's get his wound cleaned and stitch it up. But first we need to see if any of his organs were damaged, either by the hacking or from the broken ribs." She leaned closer. "It looks like it missed his spine completely. This guy is lucky as hell. Half an inch more and his spine would have been severed." She heard a grunt and straightened, looking down at her patient's face. The lines on the exposed side of his face were etched into his skin and his eyes were open. They were a very distinctive shade of blue, like the sky on a cold day in winter.
"Hey, can you tell me your name?"
He remained silent, staring at her.
"Do you know where you are?" He watched her, but said nothing. Okay, well then, whoever you are, we're going to take care of you. I'm going to give you something for the pain, and then I'm going to stitch you up. You were very lucky.
Lucky. Sure.
He closed his eyes again. Chapter 2 6 months later.
You know, Carolina, said her stepmother, as she pointed toward the bowl of green beans on the table.
Carolina swore silently and handed her stepmother the bowl of green beans. It was coming. It was always coming from her stepmother. Honey Alvarez loved to lecture, and as a biology professor, that was beneficial. But specifically, Honey loved to lecture her stepdaughter about how Carolina had not lived up to Honey's expectations.
I'm still not sure why you are wasting your time and talent in your current job when you could be doing so much more.
What? What the hell was this? Honey had found a brand new angle. Now she wasn't doing enough?
More? I work with Médecins Sans Frontières in hotspots all around the world. How could I do more?
I know that you help people in need, and Doctors Without Borders is a worthwhile organization. But you could be helping a greater number, rather than just the handful you see every day.
Honey set the green beans back down on the table. Carrots, please, she demanded.
Handful. Carolina couldn't believe what she was hearing. Her father, Ricardo Alvarez, handed her the carrots to hand to Honey. Sunday dinner at its finest. Never complete without Honey pointing out Carolina's shortcomings. It had been this way her entire childhood. She had thought things would change when she became an adult and joined Médecins Sans Frontières, but she'd been dead wrong. It didn't change. The nitpicking had only gotten more brutal. Carolina balled her left hand into a fist.
I see more than a handful of people per day. I am providing health care to people who would otherwise not have any. I am making a real difference. I help save people's lives.
Honey swallowed her carrots.
Yes, yes, but look at you. You're underpaid and overwhelmed. You're obviously exhausted, and you look dreadful. This is aging you tremendously. You look 40, not 35.
Carolina's mouth dropped open. Did Honey really just say she was old? What the fucking hell was wrong with this woman? She turned to her father, but he had his head down and was busy eating. Heat crawled up her cheeks, and her heart hammered in her chest. She spoke through clenched teeth.
And what would you have me do, Honey? Get a job in an ER here in New York?
Honey shook her head, sending a ripple through her sleek blonde bob. Her big blue eyes looked scornful.
No, that's a complete waste of your talents. You have a gift, Carolina. Your intelligence is a gift and shouldn't be squandered. You need to go back into research.
And here it was, the crux of the matter. She should have seen it coming. Honey had been devastated when Carolina left her job as a cancer researcher and joined MSF. Carolina glanced at her watch. They'd only made it 5 minutes into dinner. That had to be a record of some kind. Usually, Honey had to build up to it, feign warmth and do the usual small talk about her work and her dad's work, and then when Carolina mentioned her own work, Honey would harumph. Launching into the lecture 5 minutes into dinner, 10 minutes into Carolina's visit, was a new low for Honey. Carolina's eyes narrowed as she looked at her stepmother. Something was up. There had to be for Honey to skip the niceties that she so prided herself on performing.
What's going on?
Carolina turned and looked at her father at the other end of the table.
Dad?
He sat there silently, his brown eyes looking blank. He smiled slightly at his daughter, but remained quiet. His dark brown hair lay flat to his head, and his shoulders seemed more slumped than Carolina remembered. He looked old somehow, older than he normally did. His blue button-down and khaki pants were a little large on him. Was he eating enough?
Dad, she asked again. He smiled.
There's nothing going on, sweetheart. Your stepmother is just concerned for you, for your career.
My career is fine.
It is most certainly not fine,
Honey snarled. Her fork smacked against the plate with a vehemence that matched her outburst, making Carolina jump. Honey made a show of carefully placing the utensil on her plate.
Carolina, you need to stop wasting time and go back to what you are good at. You need to beg Javier for your job back. You belong in research. You were going to cure cancer. How can you give that up?
Carolina's shoulders sagged. Back to this again.
No, honey, I was not going to cure cancer, and neither was Javier. We were making strides, but the project was never going to work. We needed to rethink everything, and...
There was too much water under that bridge with Javier. Her former mentor had treated her horribly in the end, but she wasn't about to get into all that. Honey would just take Javier's side, and her father would stay silent and give her that small smile he always used.
And I don't want my job back. It's been over 2 years. You really need to let this go. I like helping those who really need it. I enjoy my job. You need to respect my decisions.
Your decisions are foolhardy and stupid. You are 35. You should be over this rebelliousness by now.
Rebelliousness? That's what you think this is?
Heat flooded Carolina's cheeks again. Her fingers tightened on her fork. It was the same argument over and over. She'd listened to Honey when she was a child. She'd tried to please her. But there was just no making Honey happy. At least not for Carolina. She turned to her father. Surely he would support her in this. She was his only daughter. He met her gaze and then looked down at his plate.
Dad, do you think I'm being rebellious?
Acid dripped off the word. He locked gazes with her and then sighed.
I think you should listen to what Honey has to say.
It was as if someone stuck her with a pin, and she deflated like a balloon. All the anger drained, and she was left with a big, empty void of loneliness. It was her father's fallback line. He always deferred to Honey when it came to Carolina. She stared at her plate and blinked back her emotions. Just once she wanted him to back her up. Just once. She placed her fork on the table. She couldn't eat anything else. Her belly had soured with the knowledge that she was once again on her own. Carolina didn't bother to look at Honey. Her self-satisfied smile would be in place, and seeing the smug expression would only make Carolina feel worse.
As I was saying, it's time to get serious again. You were building a great reputation that you destroyed, but if you go back to the lab, you can pick up where you left off. You can call it a bit of burnout, but now you're back and ready to throw yourself into the project again.
I spoke with Javier. Carolina's head shot up.
You spoke to Javier?
He'd been positively abusive when she left, and for Honey to actually speak to him again was a betrayal of monstrous proportions.
Well, no, she admitted with reluctance. I bumped into him at NYU. He was there to do a guest lecture. I admit I would have called him if I'd known he'd been so open to your return.
My return? Carolina couldn't believe what she was hearing. She quickly glanced at her father, but he refused to meet her eyes and just continued to eat.
Yes!
Honey's eyes lit up. He said he would be absolutely thrilled for you to come back. He is sorry you left, and he actually admitted you were the best assistant he ever had. Oh, Carolina, it's wonderful news. You can get your place back and get your career on track again. Now, unfortunately, you have been away for a long time, and there will be a few new, younger colleagues who you will have to compete with in order to gain back your reputation. But I feel sure if you put in extra hours...
Carolina blocked out the sound of Honey's voice. She was shaking all over. She dropped her fork and curled both hands into fists.
How could she?
How could Honey betray her like that? How could her father sit by and do nothing? Javier had been a hard taskmaster and showed her no leniency. He had made her work long hours and then refused to listen when she pointed out that his theories weren't working. He'd thrown things at her when she finally got up the courage to quit. She'd had enough. Placing her palms on the table, she pushed her chair back from the table, interrupting Honey midstream and announcing she was leaving. Honey's mouth dropped open, and then her eyes narrowed. "Sit back down," she said with ice in her voice. Carolina looked at her father one last time, but he only gave her that sad look of his. She turned to Honey. "Yeah, I don't think so." She walked out of the dining room, down the hall, and grabbed her coat from the foyer. She was out the door in seconds. 45 minutes later, back in the city, Carolina leaned against the subway door and yawned. The train ride in from New Jersey had been a slow one, and the motion of the train had made her sleepy. The switch to the subway hadn't helped either. Her subway car's air conditioning wasn't working, and the excessive heat in combination with the stale air was making it hard to keep her eyes open. At least she managed to get the spot by the door. She could lean on the doors without having to lean over anyone who was seated and be crushed against all those holding the poles in the middle. She ran a hand under her dark brown ponytail, lifting it off the back of her neck in hopes of having some sort of cooling effect. Her naturally curly hair frizzed in the summer heat and humidity, so wearing it in a ponytail was one of the only ways to tame it. She yawned again. The stuffiness of the subway car lulled her, and the smell of sweaty bodies filled her nostrils. She was gagging to get home and stand under a cold shower. Her anger had long since burned itself out, leaving only hollowness in its wake. She should have known Honey would eventually speak to Javier and then ambush her. It was a classic Honey move. Really, when she thought about it, she was surprised it hadn't happened sooner. After all, it had been over 3 years since she'd left research to work with Médecins Sans Frontières. Something most parents would be proud of. Not hers. The subway jolted to a halt, and the usual crush of people pushed by Carolina to exit the train. A second later, she was jostled again as people pushed their way on. Ah, life in New York City. There was always a million people doing whatever she was doing. She'd become quite used to it, but there were times when coming home to New York City didn't seem all that restful. What she needed was a peaceful, tropical vacation. She still had a few weeks before she was due to go back on duty with MSF. Maybe she would book a real vacation. Honey was right about one thing, as much as it pained Carolina to admit it. She was exhausted and needed a break, but going back to work with Javier Flores was not possible. Memories flooded her mind. It would have been much better had she not gone into research, but she'd been so desperate to feel that her father and her stepmother were proud of her. They were both professors, so research seemed like a good choice. And then she'd met Javier during her last year of med school. He'd been so convincing. They were going to beat the odds together, he'd said. Who the hell was she to think she could cure cancer? That auspicious goal had been just another of Javier's pie-in-the-sky ideas. He had needed a top-notch assistant who could keep up with him, and that's what Carolina had been. Until her need to help people finally won out. Not that research wasn't helping people, but she needed to witness the correlation. She needed to be there, in person and hands-on, to heal people. That one-on-one interaction was the thing that gave her the most joy. But it had taken her years to realize it. Years of still not pleasing Honey or gaining her father's love. She would never get those years back, but at least now she was doing something she loved, even if she was feeling burnt out. She leaned against the subway door as it rattled down the track. If she was honest, it hadn't been all bad working for Javier.
He'd taken her in and made her a part of his family in the beginning. For the first 5 years, he'd been a father figure to her, advising her and offering her warmth that had never come from her own father. He'd even taken her back to his home country, Ecuador. She went with his whole family. It had been a wonderful experience. She'd gotten to see, from a distance, of course, the Tarchuarani people that Javier had spoken so highly of. Imagine in the 21st century there was still a group of people native to the rainforest that eschewed all modern-day conveniences and almost all interactions with other groups so they could live as their ancestors had for centuries. It had been the most amazing experience, and Carolina had been happy. So happy, in fact, that she finally got up the courage to point out to Javier that the theory behind the research they were doing was wrong. The results showed again and again that his cocktail was not going to cure cancer, no matter what delivery method they used. Javier had screamed at her, yelling that she was an idiot, and what did she know? She was just a baby when it came to research. How dare she question him? That's when she knew she had to get out. Research was dead to her. She'd been working at it to please others, not herself. She sighed heavily as the express train rocked on its tracks. Her stop was next. Her stomach growled. Now that she had calmed down, she was hungry. She glanced at her watch. 8:45. She would grab some Chinese food on the way back to her place. It wouldn't be too busy at this time. Most of the dinner crowd would be gone. The screech of metal on metal told her she was approaching her stop. She moved forward to the opposite doors and waited. The train rolled to a stop and the doors opened. She exited the train, buffeted by the rush of bodies leaving as she left, and put a bit of hustle into her step. She wanted to get her Chinese and get home to have that shower. Carolina moved up the long escalator slowly. A steady tide of people rushed past her on the left, running up the long, steep escalator. She was always afraid of falling down this set, so she stood still and firmly gripped the handrail. She stepped off the escalator at the top and started moving toward her exit. A hand reached out and grabbed her arm. She swung around suddenly, fist clenched. She was so startled, she dropped her arm.
Javier? What the fuck?
Carolina, I am so happy I ran into you.
Javier Flores stood there smiling in front of her, like a demon summoned from the depths of her mind. She stared at her former mentor, shock coursing through her body. What the hell was he doing at her subway stop? Did Honey call you or something? Would her stepmother stoop that low? Yes, she would.
What?
Javier looked confused, disheveled, actually, which was weird. Javier normally dressed in khakis and a neatly pressed button-down. Not a hair out of place. Today, he had on khakis, but they were wrinkled, and so was his white shirt. It looked like he'd slept in his clothing. Carolina pulled her arm out of his grip.
I'm not interested in coming back, no matter what Honey said.
Javier blinked and grabbed her arm again, then pulled her over in front of the stairs that were set between the two escalators, so they were out of the way of the people exiting.
Yes, I bumped into Honey, and she mentioned you were home and would like to get back into research. But that's not why I'm here.
I don't care about that, Carolina.
He glanced over his shoulder and then turned back to her.
I mean, I wish you would come back, but now is not the moment to discuss it. Look, I don't have much time. Seeing Honey yesterday brought you to mind, and I need a favor. I dropped the information off at your apartment. I need you to do something for me. You are the only one who can.
He darted a furtive look around the subway station again. Carolina swallowed. This was not the Javier she knew. The disheveled nature of his clothing, his wild eyes, the constant looking over his shoulder. Had the stress finally gotten to him? Did he finally realize his theory on how to cure cancer wouldn't work? Did he have a psychotic break?
Carolina, I know I must look a mess, and I'm probably scaring you, but...
He looked around.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?